We've been in Jonah, and what an interesting story. Jonah just didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. And I think Jonah knew God very well. He knew that if he went to Nineveh and preached repentance, that God was going to be merciful to those people. But Jonah didn't want God to be merciful to those people. We're on chapter 4, Joe. Jonah chapter 4. And is where we'll be today. And one thing interesting about this book that some of the scholars have decided, does it really fit where it should? Should it be in the Old Testament, or was this written much later? Because it's interesting because Jonah was called to go out and reach out to people that were outside of the Jewish people, which we know that in the New Testament and after the sacrifice of Christ and his resurrection, that they were called to go out and reach the Gentiles at that point and say, well, why would this be so early on? Understand that God always had a redemptive plan for those that were outside of his people. If not, he would have never called out and sent Abraham. But it's very interesting that Jonah also thought the one thing that lends for us to understand of the time being in the right place in which it was in the Old Testament, he had this weird idea that God was with the Jewish people, and if he got away from his people and away from where he's supposed to be, that he could escape God, which was really kind of silly, but he thought, this is one of the reasons he ran. If I run, I can hide from God. And I think that we think Jonah was really silly to think that. But I doubt, I would dare say that just about all of us sitting here today at some point in our life is thought that we could stick our head in the sand and hide from God. And we know that we certainly cannot do that. Let's look at chapter 4. Now, we know what happened in chapter 3 was it finishes in verse 10. It says, when God saw their actions, which was the king's call for repentance, that they had turned from their evil ways, so God relented from the disaster he had threatened to do to them, and he did not do it. So God decided to spare them because they turned from their evil ways. So what happens with Jonah? Jonah was thrilled. He preached the word of God, and all the nation's evil, wicked nation turned. Well, we know that didn't happen, did it? Jonah was greatly displeased and became furious. He prayed to the Lord, please, Lord, isn't this just what I said while I was still in my own country? That's why I fled toward Tarshish in the first place. I knew that you're a merciful and compassionate God, slow to become angry, rich in faithful love, and the one who relents from sending disaster. And now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. We think that's a little bit extreme. But I'll be honest with you, there's groups sometimes, when you look at them, you want to see them get theirs. Am I right? I'm sure that all of us have thought about that, about ISIS before, and what they're going on, and the plundering and the killing of innocent people and Christians that they're doing. And yet it's very interesting when I read reports coming out of the Middle East of those very persecuted Christians, they're praying for those people. And I praise God for that example. I think sometimes if I heard that there was a great revival in the Council of Foreign Relations, it might bother me. Because sometimes you want to see those guys get theirs too for all the mayhem they cause in the world. But the truth of the matter is there's nothing greater than when wicked and evil people turn from their wicked ways and they turn to God. And I'll tell you, if that were to happen in our own country today, we would see great things happen. But another passage that comes to mind is a passage that goes something like this. If my people, someone want to help me with this? If my people would humble themselves and repent and turn from their wicked ways, then what? I would hear them. I'd restore their land. What's he talking about there? Who's he talking to? You notice what he started out with? If my people. So we are the ones that he needs to heal. And he needs to restore. But he does it when we turn from our own ways. And we put our eyes on him and do what we're called to do. We had an interesting discussion in Sunday school this morning about how we could look more like the New Testament church. And it just didn't involve the breaking of bread. And it did, breaking of bread and studying together and praising together and spreading the gospel together. We know all that was done in the time of the temple. But it actually involves a lifestyle change of where we've fallen into. A time to go back to simplicity. A time for people to work together, to come together, to trust each other, to support local things around ourselves. All the things that we can do to build that community again, we can do that. I mean, we really can. The thing is, we got to decide we're going to do it and just do it. It's hard to do, isn't it? Hard for households to live on one income today. You can do it, but it's hard. But it's not just on one income. I was sharing this morning, I don't want to get off my subject too far, but I was sharing this morning that there was a time when my mom was a stay-at-home mother, and most of the other ladies were too. We had one lady that we lived on a cul-de-sac at this one point, and there was one lady that lived there that was a nurse, but she worked night shifts, so she would manage to stay awake for a few hours in the morning because all the ladies in the neighborhood there would meet for coffee and Bible study first thing in the morning after they got the kids off to school. So it was nice they were able to do that, and they were able to help each other through a lot of problems they had in their family, with their families, with their lives, and they all grew together a lot. But the thing was, today we could simplify and pull back and do some of those things. But I asked the question, when that time is freed up, what do we do with it? See, in their particular case, they took that time and they came together and they broke bread together and they prayed together and they read scripture and they grew together. You know, just to create time for time's sake only leaves a void for Satan to fill with his activity. If we're going to create time, we have to fill it with what God would want us to do, and then we grow together and love each other as a people. We live in a supermarket society. We shop churches. We get upset over one little thing, we're out the door. We're not the family that we're supposed to be, that forgives each other's differences and understands we're not all the same. And I'm so glad, because you guys would be awfully boring if we were. And I don't like boredom. But where we need to be the same is in our love for the Lord and our love to share the gospel to other people. And that's where we need to be. So what's Jonah doing? So Jonah's angry. He knew the Lord was going to forgive these people. And we're no different. Someone comes in the door and say they've wronged you terribly. And all of a sudden they come forward and they confess that they really had, the Lord's blessed them so much and they've given their life to the Lord. And someone's sitting out there thinking, yeah, you got to show me. Or, yeah, oh, I don't believe this. They're giving their lives to the Lord and they haven't been punished yet. I want to see some punishment. I need vengeance. See, this is where Jonah was at. Jonah wanted, and don't get me wrong, the Ninevites were wicked, wicked, evil people. And they had caused so much destruction and pain on the Jewish people. I can understand why he felt the way he did. He wanted them to get theirs. I got to tell you something this morning, Christian. You can never have a proper relationship with Jesus Christ while you harbor in your heart that somebody needs to get theirs. Wow. Pastor, that's not fair. Well, yeah, it is. Because we all needed to get ours, and the Lord saved us, didn't he? Come on, Pastor, they still need to get theirs. How about they just accept Jesus and then something bad happened to them? Huh? Come on! Sometimes it means we got to get out of our comfort zone. I'm going to share a Mike story with you. About 2 years ago, we were kind of dividing up people that needed help in different areas. And there was a middle-aged man that briefly came to the church that had a lot of problems going on. And his problems, I have to tell you, were so foreign to Mike that relating to him was going to be difficult. Mike said, let me talk to him. So Mike met with him and talked with him. And Mike did what he could to reach out to him and direct him in an area of someone that could give him help and direction. But you see, that's loving other people beyond who we are, beyond our personality, beyond our likes and dislikes, beyond what we're comfortable with. See, it's not about being comfortable. I love the church sign that was in front of a church that said, we are here to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. I like that. Yeah, comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. If you're too comfortable this morning, you need a little bit of discomfort, because discomfort means that you're doing what God wants you to do. You're out there reaching. It's not always comfortable to reach out to people for Christ. It's not always comfortable to go out away from what you know and what you're comfortable with, and especially reach out to people that you don't particularly like or don't particularly fit who you think you are. Or maybe even someone that's hurt you. You know, it's kind of interesting. And I know some of you have done this. I'm assuming you have. I know some of you have. When there's someone that has really done something, we'll just say bad for the sake of saying bad, but you can fill in the blanks. Or maybe done something to you or to the church or just in general to people. Someone that is just not a nice person. And when you go up and you're kind to them and invite them to something at church, to look at the look on their face is priceless. It's just like, huh? And then they always come out and go, well, yeah. And you see them brighten up like, I can't believe this person just showed me this unbelievable forgiveness, because they know that you know who they are. I knocked on a fellow's door one day and invited him to some stuff at church and was just... Here's the thing. When you're willing to reach out to people, don't worry about being warm to them or kind to them. God will give you the warmness and the kindness to reach out to them. If you're willing to go to that door, first of all, it means that you're willing to do what God wants you to do. And it also means that he's also worked on your heart. And now when you do go to those people, you're not going to go to the door and say, "Ugh, I don't believe this God just answered the door. Hey, man, we're having this thing at the church, and I guess you can come if you want to. It's this time, but, you know, I'm not going to hold my breath. You're probably not going to show up anyway." No, it's, "Hey, we've got this going on, and, you know, I really think you'd enjoy it if you came, and I'm going to look forward to seeing you there." And you know, then, you know, usually you get back from, "Well, what do I wear?" I say, "Just don't come naked. It'll all be good." Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Just come. And then sometimes they do. You know, there's a lot of people that I know that I don't know if they've ever given their life to the Lord yet, but I do know they've heard the gospel because they came. Let the Holy Spirit work on them. They heard the truth. So these people heard the truth, and Jonah's bummed out. Let's look at why. The Lord asked, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah left the city and sat down east of it. He made himself a shelter there and sat in its shade to see what happened to the city. So he just kind of sat down. You think maybe Jonah was saying, you know, let's see if this repentance is real. See if God real. Maybe God will just destroy it anyway if I have my way. But I'm going out of the city where I won't get destroyed. And I'm going to sit here and I'm going to watch. But I'm just so stinking angry those people actually repented. Then the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew up to provide shade over Jonah's head to ease his discomfort. Jonah was greatly pleased with the plant. See, God comforts us. He gives us places of comfort. And we're pleased with our comfort. Maybe God has given you a beautiful home today. Maybe God has given you a beautiful home with nice air conditioning and a big soft chair that you sit in, and it's your place of retreat. So you go to that place of retreat because maybe things just aren't real right and you're just going to do something mindless. Like turn on today's NASCAR game race at Pocono or something. And you're going to get all that stuff off your mind. You're not going to think about it because you're really angry. I showed up at church today and God hadn't judged that person yet. Ooh! And they had the nerve to come back. That's Jonah right now. He found himself a pleasant place. He's sitting down. He's angry at God. He's angry at the world. Why is God giving these people a break? And he sits there under a plant that God actually provided him. And what happens? And it grew up and provided a shade over Jonah's head to ease discomfort, and Jonah was greatly pleased. Then dawn came the next day. God appointed a worm that attacked the plant, and it withered. Uh-oh, there went the air conditioning, just went out. 90 degrees out, no air. I'm sticking to the leather sofa. It's not pretty. As the sun was rising, God appointed a scorching east wind, and it beat down on Jonah's head so that he almost fainted. You know what that's like, don't you, Ted? That bald head when you're out there on that mower and the sun's beating down, you about want to pass out. Hey, I'm getting thin, too. I can pick on him. Yeah, Jonah was about to pass out. Now he's got no shade. He brings in an east wind. And the sun's beating down, and it's gonna cook him. That little bit of wind blowing, he might as well be in a dehydrator. And he's uncomfortable. He says he wanted to die. Didn't say that he said he wanted to die. He wanted to die. What a crybaby. I just want to die. I didn't get my way. Life stinks. Those people aren't being judged. It's hot. I'm tired. My air went out. The TV's on the fritz. God's obviously mad at me because I'm being a real jerk and I know it. Right? He said it's better for me to die than to live. Better for who? In his present state, probably everybody. Not doing anybody any good. Whining and complaining and not being part of the solution, being part of the problem and all those things that we do. I'm just going to go home and I'm going to pout. And I'm not going to talk to anybody. Because when I don't talk to anybody, they'll know I'm really mad. And they'll wonder what's wrong. And it'll eat at them. Oh, I can't wait for them to be miserable. Yeah. Oh, the American way. We do that silliness. We have this loving God that loves us enough to send his son to be scourged and beaten and die on a cross because he loves us so much that he wants us to know the glory of heaven and the beauty for eternity. I just want someone to feel my pain. I think of the Lord's pain. Then I start really feeling guilty and sad. See, those people, they lived a life that really disappointed and made Jonah dislike them. People disappoint you. They disappoint me all the time. We live in a day and age where the pastor's got to have a tape recorder in his office. That's pathetic. I got to have a tape recorder because I may be called on what I said or didn't say. Isn't that ridiculous? It's crazy. I talked to a man the other day, and he was applying for a job as a chaplain at a hospital, and he was hoping he got it, and I knew that he wouldn't. And he said, I don't think I'm going to get it. He said, I don't have a master's in theology. And he goes, you know, that shouldn't be a prerequisite to being able to be in that role. And I said, yeah, but you got to understand something. I said, if you give someone the wrong advice and they go out and hurt themselves and the family sues the hospital, and here you are somebody that just has a lay training, now it's on their head for hiring you and the hospital is going to get the pantsuit off them. That's where we live today. That's where we live. It's not where we should live. Pastor shouldn't have to cover himself all the time with every little thing that you can do. We shouldn't have to have cameras in the church. We shouldn't have to have a camera in our nursery to make sure our kids aren't hurt. I shouldn't have to be able to recall everything I've done to make sure that what I said didn't get spun, twisted, and got sent out the door as some horrible gossip, right? But it does. Because we're like Jonah. We're unhappy with ourselves. And we want to see people get theirs. Because we hurt. So what happens? Then God asked Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about a plant? Are you kidding me? Is it right for you to ruin your day over the air conditioning going out? I didn't have air conditioning growing up. I think we had one fan in the house. I remember times I'd pull my bed over towards the window and try to suck air at night just so I could breathe. I think we all did. Then I look at those poor people when I was in Bolivia. How they did it, I don't know. Man, it was hot. I don't know how they went to sleep, but they did. Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Yes, he replied. You ever do that? Yes. I've worked hard. I pay my bills. There's no reason that power company couldn't have their act together and this. We shouldn't have this electric shutdown. I work hard for what I have. Wow, 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 wow. Is it right? I'm angry enough to die. You know, sometimes the Lord has to just look down and say, oh, man. Parents, you ever look down at your kids when they're really being unappreciative and just think, I don't believe this. I just really don't believe this. So he's angry enough to die. So the Lord said, you cared about the plant, which you didn't labor over and did not grow. Now I got to give you guys credit here. You work hard for that air conditioner. Jonah never worked hard for that plant. I'll give you guys credit on that one, okay? But do remember, please, that God provided you that job and that income that you have. It didn't happen by chance, even though you think it all came from hard work and pulling your bootstraps up and all that other stuff that we hear. If it isn't for God, he'll snatch it away from you so fast he can that you won't believe it. You'll think, what happened? You better believe you have what you have because God has provided it. You may have worked hard. You may have been in the right place at the right time, or you may have been devoted. All those things that are good and you should do, and I don't mean to take away from those because I'm not. But I'm saying that if God didn't want you to have it, you wouldn't have it. And you better understand that. And you better trust and respect our loving God that allows you to have it, because it can be snatched from you in a minute. So the Lord said, you care about the plant which you didn't labor over and you didn't grow. It appeared in a night and perished in a night. Bada boom, bada bing, in and out, gone. Should I not care about the great city of Nineveh, which has more than 120,000 people who cannot distinguish their right from their left, as well as many animals? He wants to die because a plant fell apart, but yet he doesn't think God should reach out to 120,000 people plus everything that they have because of their wickedness. Sounds like us sometimes. Huh? And what does he say about them? He says they can't distinguish their right from their left. Guys, I got to tell you something. We live in a day and age today, I've never seen it like this. There's a lot of people out there, and I believe it's the majority, that can't distinguish their right from their left. It's crazy. We were having this discussion last week. I think it was Ted and I, maybe. Could have been a lot of you. But the discussion was, you know, we used to hear when we were younger about the day would come when even the very elect would be deceived, and that people would believe false doctrines and false things that were just unbelievable. They wouldn't know their right from their wrong. Here it is, their right from their left. Guys, they've been here all along. It's just called wickedness. We live in that day and age. It blows me away. Common sense put right in front of your face. Truth and common sense. And people look at those and say, it's not so. And they'll fight for it. They'll riot for it. They'll hurt you over it. Guys, it comes down to one thing. It's called wickedness. And when wickedness takes over, it takes over. And when Satan gets a root, your mind is not clear. But then what do? We care about him. God cares about him. God cared about him. He says, Jonah, you do what I said. Jonah, go tell them what's going to happen if they don't repent. Jonah, don't hate them because I don't. Jonah, I love these people. And they don't have enough sense to know their right from their left. Now, that's God talking to Jonah, and he may tell you that. Doesn't mean that you're to go out and tell people, hey, I'm here to tell you the truth because you're so stupid you don't know your right from your left. I don't think they'll listen to you very long. But Lord willing, they'll come to that realization on their own through the Holy Spirit and the guidance and the word of truth that you give them. See, it doesn't do any good to tell people they're dumb, but it's great when they realize it on their own. See, that's what brought me to my repentance, was realizing that I was really dumb. That God had a plan, and my plan was really stupid. And I got tired of beating my head against a wall. My own plan wasn't working. And that's where people need to be. And Jonah needed to understand that if God could love him in his rebellion, in his silliness, do you realize that Jonah was acting like this just after God had saved him from sure, complete death? Fish bait. God brings him back and he's right back at it. So I got to tell you something as we close. Two things. One, I want you to understand that God loves those people. And we need to reach out to them. But there's a second thing. Don't ever be so bold in your own self-worth and your own pride, to point a finger at other people that are struggling within the faith. Or maybe you're at that point of being a Jonah. We need to encourage them. We need to remind them. We need to bring them back with loving arms. But we got to remember that beam and that speck. All right? Quit trying to pull a speck out of someone's eye when you got a log in your own. It'll scratch them enough. I get one little speck in my eye, and trust me, it scratches. I got to pay attention to it. If you got a log in your eye, you got a whole other problem. We all need to humble ourselves to God and to the Word of God. We all need to humble our lives to the Lord. We got to quit blaming other people for our problems. We got to quit finding a target for our resentment. We got to deal with the resentment. Quit trying to find a target for what you have. You see, if I come clean with the Lord and I keep my eyes on Him, I'm not going to have a resentful heart. If I look at someone that's struggling or that's hurting someone else, I'm going to hurt for them, not want to hurt them. You see the difference? I can honestly say this, and I hope that you can too. I believe in swift justice. I believe in taking care of things that need taken care of. But I also cannot ever think of a person in history, including the worst of the worst of the worst, that I would like to see spend one day in hell. Because that's how terrible it is. And to me, that's a calling card to go out and reach people for Christ. Do we love them, or are we just proud to sit in our own little space? We need to love people. We need to reach out to people. I need to do it more, and we all need to do it more. And we need to become what the body of Christ is meant to be and walk in it and stay in it and be part of it. And watch that glue get tighter and tighter as a fabric, and that glue holds us together to make us tough as nails. But our heart soft as butter. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you so much for your love, for all that you do. Lord, I thank you for each and every person here today. I thank you for our little ones. Lord, I pray that we really look at them and realize we need to trust you. Lord, we want to see a better world for our kids, and we need to take that seriously. Lord, we need to turn ourselves to you. And Lord, allow you to work in us a great work like we've never seen. Lord, we love you and thank you for this day. In your name, amen.